Okay, we're going to pick up two lines from the bottom of Kluchal Halav Amud Beis, the words of Amar Rabbi Abba. Again, we started there yesterday, but it's in the middle of the sugya, so we'll just go back to these three lines. And where says Amar Rabbi Abba Barkhanam, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Pumato Shabbos Rabbi Muto Talta Meshabbos, that you have the candelabras in Rabbi's house, those are allowed to move the Shabbos. Rashi points out that these are dafka, the ones that are made in one piece and don't have several different sections to them, because if they do, then the Gemara in Memvav tells us that would be another issue, because we're afraid it's going to fall. They're going to come to Mehadik them and put them together, and if you do that through Hiduk, and there'll be that would be Chayav Mikot Bitzad Bona, that you created a Kli. So therefore, they're going to be Aser. But if you have them of one piece, then it's not an issue. So the Gemara, and obviously we're assuming that you're not lighting them. If you light them, they become Basas of Aser. So we're assuming that they weren't lit. So the Gemara asks, Amar Le Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi asks a question. Are you referring to the smaller candelabras that can be taken in one end, or Dafka the ones that are going to be taken in two? Because Rashi points out when you have the big ones, and we Rashi done later on the next Amud. But Rashi says over there that if something is large, it's going to be creating a Kviyas Makom. In which case it's supposed to be in that location, you're not going to move it there, that would make it muktzah to move. So the Gemara now turning onto the Sabbath said, Amar lo, ke'osan shal beis avicha, that dafka, like the ones in your father's house, Rashi points out, would be like the small ones, but the big ones, those are not allowed to be moved in Shabbos, because those are, in fact, set in a certain place, and that would create the issur of mukta. That is how Rashi explains it. Based on Tosfos Memvav, they have a different explanation. We'll just go with Shitas Rashi. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Rabbi Chanina, Krono Shel Beis Rabbi Mutter L'Talta M'Shabbos." The wagons of Rabbis in the Rabbi's house; those are allowed to be moved. Again, over here, referring to the ones that the Rashi points out, the dafka, the ones that people would go on, not the ones that you use for animals. Those are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So now we're not assuming that they are going to be mukta. Gemara says, Amar la Rabbi Zeira ben Atam ben Adam Echad v'shnei Adam. Are you referring to the wagons that can be moved by one person, or even those who are moved by two people? The Gemara says, or two or more, obviously. The Gemara says, Amar lo, kosen shabbos avicha, like the ones in your house, Rashi points out. Rashi actually doesn't say explicitly, but other Rishonim explain over here that here we're referring to the smaller kind. So that the smaller ones, those are only the ones that are allowed to be moved. If they're more, they're going to be mukta. The Gemara says, Rabbi Barbara Kanana, when mentioning statements of Rabbi Barbara Kanana and the Rabbi Yosh, what Rabbi do, he to them, Rabbi Chanina labes Rabbi Lishtos Yayin Bikrono Shal Nachri Bechosam Echad. Rabbi Chanina allowed the household of Rabbi to drink wine that was taken in the wagon in only one seal. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that white stam yenam is usher to drink. We're afraid that a person, they libated towards Avodah Zarah. So that is a dinder abanan. However, we're assuming that even kosher wine that was delivered to a Jew's house, if the non-Jew touches it, even that is going to be usher, because we're afraid he was menasech el Avodah Zarah. So the shayla is, how many seals, how many coverings do you need to have? What do you need to have? So the Gemara says over there that there's a shita, there's one shita that says it's only one seal. And we're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask, is that the case over here? So here, Rabbi allowed it with only one seal. The Gemara says, "V'le'adana mishum d'savar like Rabbi Eliezer." Does Rabbi Chanina, who's saying that Rabbi held this way, was Rabbi Chanina assuming that way because he held like Rabbi Eliezer that for this purpose one seal is going to be mutter? However, the Chachamim disagree, Tanakama disagree with that shita. Because so maybe Rabbi would just passing like this das yachid, or maybe not. Maybe assumed, even the Chacham would agree in my case. Why should my case be different? Rabbi would say because imishum imas devina nesia. The Rabbi was appointed by the Romans, and Romans, he had a chashuv position which was also recognized by the local government. So therefore, people were afraid to tamper with anything that they were passing to him, and therefore they wouldn't mess with it. So therefore, for himself, he allowed the kula of having only one seal. Okay, now we're going to continue into the another mishnah about the malachas of the Isra, of Amira Lenachri, and as we pointed out before, that there's two main Isurim when it comes, depending on yesterday's Afra, when it comes to the Isra of Amira Lenachri, the one is to just tell an Achri to do Malacha for you. To do that, that's called Amira Lenachri, to literally tell them to do the Malacha for you. That is telling them to do that. Second one is just Stam, there's an Isra Hana of benefiting from a Malacha that was done by an Achri. That is another Gzira that's part of this Gzira of Amira Lenachri. Shaila, actually, the Rambam in Parish of Shaila actually asks, why isn't this a Gzira Lexira? That the whole din of Amir al-Nachri is a gzera, is a din derabanan, right? So then why should I be allowed to be hana from his maisa that he did for me, even though if I didn't tell him to do anything, that's only a gzera, lest I come to actually tell him explicitly. But that whole thing is a din derabanan. So the Rambam actually explains that the Rabbanan are allowed to make two decrees if they're at the same time. If at the same time, you're allowed to make one ikar decree, and the other one as like a secondary decree that's going to help out the first the first gzira, and that's not called a problem of gozer and gzira l'gzira, of having a din d'rabbanan as a safeguard for a din d'rabbanan. We normally assume that that is the rule, but here the Rambam gives a very interesting answer that you're done at the same time. But again, there's two main malachas of the two main isurim is telling the non-Jew to do something, also having a nas, stam. So if you're in a dark room and the goy just comes out and turns the light for you, there's a real problem of having hana from that light that they have done. So now the Gemara says, Nachri Shidlikas Hanir. If a goy is lighting a lamp here, it's for himself though. Mishtamish L'Orel Yisrael. So here, if the non-Jew is lighting it for himself, then you'd be allowed to use that light. Vim Bishal Yisrael, Aser. But if the non-Jew is lighting the lamp for the Jew, it's going to be Aser. And this is even if you do Derech, Derech Remez, even if you're not even telling him to do it, even if you don't say Amir al-Nachri, then that's still the Isser of Hana from a Malacha of a Nachri, and that is an independent Isser. People are often not aware of this, but that is something that's very important to know when it comes to Hilchos Amir al-Nachri, of having the non-Jew do Malacha for you. The Gemara says, Mila Mayim Lahashkos Behemto. If a non-Jew is drawing water with to water his animal, Rashi points out that you're doing the malacha of hotzah because you're taking it out from the rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim, because we're assuming that the water that it's in had at least 10 tefachim and was 10 tefachim and also 4 tefachim wide. So then it's going to have the rishus ha-yachid, and then you take it out into where the goy is standing. That's bepashas the rishus ha-rabim. So therefore, he was doing a malacha. So then the Mishnah tells you mashke acharav Yisrael, that a Jew would later allow to be water his animal after him. The Mishvah Yisrael. But if the Jew knew that the non-Jew was there, and in which case he was doing it for him, in that situation it would be usher. So therefore, that would be usher. So then, that is the case with the animal drinking. However, Tosfos actually discussed very interesting Tosfos over here. Tosfos asks, "What about the Jew actually drinking it, not for the animal?" So Tosfos and Machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam wants to argue that the Jew is allowed to drink the water himself because he could have theoretically climbed into the well and drank it. So therefore, it wouldn't be an issue. However, the Ri disagrees. The Ri thinks that it should be usher for the Jew to drink it, and we'll see the Raya of Pashas is for the Ri later on. We'll see that Brisa, but that's very interesting Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, the two days in Tosfos, the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. Whether or not the Jew's allowed to drink it himself, not just for his animals, being problematic. The Mishnah says for his animals, but the shaila is on the Jew himself. The Mishnah says, Asr Nachri Kevish the Arabo. If the non-Jew made a bridge, like a ramp to leave a ship on Shabbos, if the ship came in to the land and the non-Jew put a ramp there, so then Yorad Archav Yisrael, the Jew is allowed to go after him also because he did it for himself. However, if you have the non-Jew specifically is making the ramp on Shabbos for the non-Jews, for the Jew to cross on to go over it, and if the ship is embarking on Shabbos, that would be usher to use. Again, we're assuming Papashis is that there's a din, there's an isser to go off a boat if you were outside the Tichum on Shabbos, because you're going out to Nursus, that would be a problem of Tchum Shabbos, but we're assuming, I guess, that L'chora, that we are within 2,000 Amos. If you're within 2,000 Amos of where the land that you're going to come in, then you're in the Tchum of the Shabbos beforehand, so then it would not be an issue of embarking on a Shabbos. So on Shabbos. And where it says, Ma'isa b'Rabban Gamliel, Zekinim Shayi B'ayin B'sfina, so once happened that Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim were going on a ship, Ve'asa Nachri Kevash Liaribo, and a non-Jew made this ramp on Shabbos, so they can go down. Ve'yarid Rabban Gamliel, Zekinim, and Rabban Gamliel went down. And this Maisa apparently proves that this is the halacha. The shaila, why should you have to even bring this Maisa? Because this is just telling us the regular halacha that we know. There's no one who argues. Usually, you bring a Maisa to show that you hold one side or another. Okay, but either way, this Mishnah lists the Maisa of what happened to Rabban Gamliel. Where are Katuzna? It's Tzricha. Why does the Mishnah only tell me three different cases of the same exact Yisod? That if a non-Jew is doing Malacha for himself, it's going to be Mutter. If he's doing it for the Jew, that is going to be Usher. So why do I have to tell you all three? So the Gemara says, I need to tell you all three because of the following. If I were to teach you the case when it comes to lighting a fire, lighting a lamp, Mishum, that when a person is lighting, all he does is light one match, he lights the fire, so it doesn't matter if he's doing it for one person or 100 people. We see that even though the non-Jew is doing it for himself, you can't say that he's doing anything extra for the Jew. He's never going to come to be Marvin Mishalov, he's never going to come to Pushi, he's never going to come to add for the Jew. However, when it comes to the water, if the non-Jew is drawing the water, so we're afraid that if he doesn't have enough, he's going to come to draw more water and increase his malacha in order to help the Jew, and for the sake of the Jew, and therefore that should be Aser. So therefore I have to have the chiddush of why it's going to be mutter. And kevesh lamali, so I don't need the case of the ramp. Then, but to teach you maisa der malil, zakenim kamash malil, to teach you the case of the maisa, that the fact that this happened to malil and the zakenim, and in fact, they were makel to go off the boat. Again, that was the shaila pointed out. L'chora, why do you have to even tell you Rabban Gamliel? This is pasha, just that no one even argues. The Gemara wants to mention that you have to know. The Gemara now continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa, Nachri Shalikir Asavim, if a non-Jew gather grass on Shabbos for his animal, so he ripped it out, which is a malacha. Machal chavisol, the Jew is allowed to feed his own animal after the non-Jew. The Gemara now says, "V'im bishvil Yisrael." However, if the non-Jew had gathered the grass for a Jew, then again, raising the principle we said before that this is the hana that he's using its usher for the Jew to use them. Mile mayim lahashkos behemto. If a non-Jew is drawing water to water his animal, mashka achar Yisrael. The Jew is allowed to water his animal after him. V'im bishvil Yisrael. However, if he does it for the Yisrael, it's going to be usher. B'medrim rameim shein makira. When is it the case that it's going to be usher? When it's mutter, rather, it's going to be only mutter if the non-Jew doesn't know the Jew. However, ava makira usher, if the non-Jew knows the Jew, then it's going to be usher. The Gemara now goes back to question the first part about using the grass in the first place. Is it really mutter? The Gemara says, Eini, is it really true that you're allowed to remove the grass in the first place to use that grass that the nachar used? A person is allowed to put his animal by grass on Shabbos. However, v'alal behemas mukta b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to put it over mukta grass on Shabbos. So now you're not allowed to have anah from the mukta over here. So if that's the case, then how are you allowed to have your animal graze and take the grass that had just been picked, which is clearly Isra of Nolad, which had not been there, it was attached to the ground before, but now it's only detached because the Nerach removed it. That's Mukta. How are you allowing your animal to have the Mukta grass? The Gemara says, Dekayim le ba'apa. So it must be where the Jew is standing in its face, literally, meaning that the Jew is on the other side of the animal, ve'azla'i ve'achla, and the animal is going on its own and eating it, and this would not be the Isra. So apparently, according to Rashi, it seems like, that, let's say, on the right side is if the animal has to make a right to go eat the grass where the grass had just been picked by the goy, so the goy had taken out that grass, and that's on the right side. And you have to stand on the left side, because if you stand on the left side, we're not afraid that you're going to come to grab it or touch it and use it to feed your animal. It's mukta for you to touch. We're not afraid of that. Really, there's no issue about the animal eating it. Really, the only issue was with tan mukta, and mukta was only afraid if you touched it. So if you're standing on mamash on the other side, so that's again the example: the left side, and the animal goes to the right where the grass is. That would be mukta. The Mara says now, Omar Mar, we quoted the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "B'med Rama Shein Makira." Sorry, we quoted in the Brisa. The Brisa said Shein Makira, that when it's only going to be mutter for Amir, when the Menachar is doing Malacha, is when the guy doesn't know you are Makira Aser. However, if the goy knows you are, you're never allowed to benefit from the goy's Malacha, because we always assume that he was doing it for you. The Gemara says, "Rabban Gamliel Makira Habe." But wait a second. The case of Rabban Gamliel was the Pashas. It wasn't the ships like a Titanic or the big ships that we imagine that they had. They had tiny little ships, 7-8 people, 10 people around the ship. It can't be that, and they usually travel for like 2 weeks at a time, so obviously if you're on the ship the whole time, everyone's going to know each other, so they clearly knew Rabbi Gamliel was who Rabbi Gamliel was, and yet we assume that Rabbi Gamliel went off and disembarked on Shabbos, so he obviously held that it was mutter. So why should it be mutter for Rabbi Gamliel, even though he was Makira? The Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Shalaba Fanavada." So we're going to give to him Machlokas Abaye Rava what the heter is. Rabbi Gamliel, he wasn't there when the goy did it, so therefore if he wasn't there, even though that he knew it, so apparently that's a heter. That even if the guy knows you, so if you're in a different room and the goy turns on the light in the other room and you're not there, nowhere to be found, so then we could assume the goy did it for himself, and therefore you can go and have hana. That would be Abaye's answer. Rava answers, Rava Amar Afilu Tema Befanav Ner Lechad Amer. No, Rava says no. Even if you assume that the goy was doing it, we have a principle. If a person lights a lamp, we saw before, you light it for one person, and it's if you're lighting it for 100, because you're not going to increase any malacha. So therefore, then this case also, your ramp, what do? You throw out the ramp, and it goes, and it's one maisa. So since this one maisa is going to be mutter, it's only through one action that you've done it, so therefore you're never going to come to increase it, and there's no issue whatsoever. So the Gemara now says, Mesi Vei, we have a kasha on both Rava and Rava. We'll get to both later. This is going to be a Kasha and Rava, though. Amar le Gamliel, the Tosefta adds to the story when it came to Rabbi Gamliel. What did Rabbi Gamliel say? Hoel v'shel b'fanavasu neredbo. So since he didn't do it in front of me, then it's going to be mutter. It sounds exactly like Abaye, right? Abaye said that when it's not done, it's going to be mutter. Seems like that's the exact getter. It seems like Rabbi Gamliel was implying if he did it in front of me, it's going to be usher. So the Gemara says Emer. So how do you explain the verse? It means to say hoel v'aso neredbo. That since he made it and we didn't do anything for us, then it's going to be mutter, and therefore Abaye, a Rava would be able to fit in with the Lashon of the Tosefta, expanding upon what Rabbi Gamliel had done. So just again, it's important to note about the Ner Le'echad, Ner Le'meah. This subject comes up extremely halacha l'maisa in Eretz Yisrael. But one of the main heterim for the whole tshuva, but I remember that one of the main heterim, I think Shlomo Zalman, I think, quotes this idea again. He thinks it should be machmir for other reasons, but the idea of using the electricity on Shabbos, how are you allowed to have lights on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? Because a lot of the people who work, for even if there was goyim, there'd be a shaila, but a kol shekein, when you have Jews who are working and violating Shabbos in order to keep the electricity, so how are you allowed to have hana from the lights in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the svaras is brought down, I believe, is that ner le'echad, ner le'me'ad, that since there's a heter of pikuach nefesh, so they have to function in order to make sure that electricity is working for all the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael. So then, since they're already doing the malacha, they're not going to be increasing anymore by having by doing whatever they're doing on the electricity grid. So that would be mutter. Apparently, that matzias was only like 60 years ago. Nowadays, apparently, you do need to do a lot more different malachas or different areas, different zones, and it would be a lot more problematic to just rely on that heter. Again, not getting to losugya, but this principle comes up very halacha l'maisa in the concept of using electricity on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. And where it now continues, Tashma. So we learn, we can bring our kasha, both on, this one is now both on Abaye and Rava, from the following Mishnah. Yir sheyisov v'nachrim darim besocha. If you have a city that both Jews and non-Jews live in, v'haisa ba merchatz ha-merchatzis b'Shabbos, and you have a public bathhouse which operates on Shabbos, im rov nachrim, if the majority of the people who live in the city who are using it, but pashas, you have to actually use it on Motzei Shabbos, they're going to be non-Jews. It doesn't matter who lives there. If it's 90% non-Jewish, but only 10% Jews, and they all use it Motzei Shabbos, so they're clearly going to use it for them, that would also be the problem. That'd be problematic. So it matters who's going to be using it on Motzei Shabbos. So if it's Rov Nachrim using it, then it's Mutter L'Rechotz by Miyad. Then a Jew is allowed to bathe in it immediately after Shabbos. But if, let's say, it wasn't Im Rov Yisrael, if it was Rov Yisrael, the majority of the people are going to be using this bathhouse on Motzei Shabbos, Yamtin B'Chedeshi Chamuchamin, someone has to wait the length of time that's going to be freighted up. That's Kedeshi Yase. The principle is, if a person tells a non-Jew to do Malacha for him, it's not just Usher on Shabbos, if it's Usher, even Motzei Shabbos, the time it takes to do that Malacha. Why is that? Because we're afraid. You take it very lightly, and unfortunately, ask him again and again, so we want to make a decree that the Gemara of Neventhal writes, unfortunately the Chilonim would have the din in this regard. Normally if a non-Jew does malacha, we don't assume that's Asher Kedesh Yasu, but if Neventhal assumes the Chilonim, since people, they do malachas all the time, and you wouldn't necessarily have the same svara, that you would also have to wait Kedesh Yasu, that you'd have to wait for the time it takes to complete the whole malacha. By the way, going back to the Gemara now, says again, the Gemara is assuming that the bathhouse is clearly, it was heated at the same time, and it was apparently, it's going to be problematic, because he says it near Le'echa Le'lamea, and apparently just lighting, you only have to light the fire once to light, to heat up the water, so if they're doing it for the non-Jews, what does it matter if the Jews are going to be there also? That was according to Rava and Abaye, that they're not there, the Jews aren't there, so what's the difference of the who's he necessarily doing it for, as long as the Jews not in his presence? So the Gemara says, now answering this brisa for both, the Shita Hasam, ki mechameme adai. To the Ruba Mechameh. So when they're doing this malacha, they're doing it with the intention of the majority in mind. So therefore, this is going to be considered four Jews, and therefore, it's four Jews. It's going to be Usher, Bein Labaya, Bein Larava. If it's four Jews, it's going to be Usher, no matter what, even though it's not, even though this malacha, according to Abaye, normally, if it's outside your presence, it's going to be Mutter. However, here, if it's done explicitly for you, you know it's done for you, then it's going to be Usher. So that's just a shayla, let's say, in the Dunkin' Donuts. I was just asking someone who works for a certain, for RCBC, let's say, that I asked. Ask them specifically, what about the Dunkin' Donuts? It's a non-Jewish owned, so you don't have the problem of them being open on Shabbos. They are open on Shabbos. And yet, on Motzei Shabbos, like, right, so he says that he thinks that on the books they'll recommend that that actually you should wait, let's say, a half hour it takes to make the donuts to eat. Don't go right away to eat them after Shabbos. Again, but he thought that wouldn't be necessary because just the Matzias, that you have to be assuming that most of the people are coming on Motzei Shabbos to buy a donut. I don't know who buys Dunkin' Donuts on Motzei Shabbos. Not like necessarily like pizza where it is a Motzei Shabbos food, but let's say, he said, Bichlal, anyway, most people, he didn't think that the Matzias was that most people are going to be Jews. If there would be, if in fact it was a fact, that it's true, and the non-Jews knew this, that it was definitely most majority of people come on Saturday night to Dunkin' Donuts are Jews, then it'd be highly problematic to right after Shabbos, let's say 15 minutes after Shabbos is over, to go right there and buy a donut, because then you have this problem that Bepashas, they're doing it for you, in which case you would have to wait Bechadeshiyah, so however long it takes to make the donuts, not exactly sure, the Matzias, so whatever, it may be, let's say, half hour, 40 minutes after Shabbos is already over. Now the Gemara continues, Tashma, we learn another kasha and Rava from the Braisa this time. This is on Rava now. Nera dalak b'masiba. If a layer was lit at a party, then imrov nachrim mutal ishtamish l'ura. If the majority of the people there at this party are non-Jews, then a Jew is allowed to use its light. However, imrov yisrael asher, if the majority of the people at this party is going to be Jewish, it's going to be asher, because then we are assuming that the goy was lighting it for the Jew. Mechtel metzle asher. However, if there were half and half, again, we would assume it's also done for the Jew, and therefore it's also going to be asher. So now the Gemara says, again, why don't we say ner la'echa ner la'me'el? If he rov, it should be mutter. The fact that they're lighting it for the non-Jews also, it should be mutter. The Gemara says, hasam nami kimadlake adaita deruba madlake, that there they're having the majority in mind, and since they're having the majority in mind, it is going to be usher. It's as if they're directly doing it for the Jew, and that's going to be usher for the Jew to have hana from this, even according to Rava. Now the Gemara says, Shmuel ikul ebay avin turan. He went to a certain place, Rashi says, asahu nachri adlik shraga. And a certain non-Jew came and lit a lamp in front of him. Adrina Shmuel ape, Shmuel turned his face because he didn't want to have hana from the light. So therefore, you don't have enough from the light. So the Gemara says, "Kevin dechazed the Isis star v'kakari." But however, then he saw that the non-Jew who lit the light, the same guy lit it, he was then bringing documents to read by this light. So then he realized, "Oh, Amar adaita nafshiu dadlik ahajuna ilapik abishraga." So he says, "Oh, he was doing it for himself." So then he turns back to have enough. So we see clearly if the non-Jew is doing it for himself, then it is going to be mutter. The question is, let's say if Rov Yisrael, we could generally assume. Let's say it was Rov Yisrael, we could generally. The Rashi points out if it was Rov Yisrael, we could assume it's generally done for him. However, there's a mice that's for the Israel. However, there's a mice that's mochiach that wasn't necessarily done for the Rove, then and it was done specifically for this non-Jew, then it would be mutter. Okay, with that, we finish Hajjan Lach Kol Kisvei. Hajjan Lach Kol Kisvei. Hajjan Lach Kol Kisvei. We'll give a brief introduction to the next parak. This parak basically is going to discuss the concept of muksa, as we mentioned earlier, so we'll just chazer some of the concepts and then continue ready into the Mishnah and the Gemara, so that we know that there's a concept of muksa machmas gufa, that in general something's not usable at all on Shabbos, like a stick or a stone, that is going to be inherently muksa. That is something that we're going to discuss basically when these things are not allowed to be moved at all, when they're going to be allowed to be moved, like klisha malachtel isser is another concept that we're going to discuss, something that's primarily used for something that's going to be usher on Shabbos, forbidden purpose on Shabbos. So when are you allowed to use it, when you're not allowed to use it, if it's for tzorach gufo, if it's for sake of a mutter usage on Shabbos, or the tzorach makoma, let's say I just need a place where it is sitting on the right table, I'm allowed to move it. And then the third category is mechama letzel, my limud from the sun to shade, just to prevent it from being damaged. These are all discussions of the different kelim I'm going to be using, or klish malachtel heter. A klish malachtel heter is going to discuss also something that's primarily used for heter. What are you allowed to move that for any tzorach whatsoever? Also, that is all going to be discussed in this parak. So now, the Mishnah says, "Kol hakim mitel b'Shabbos." Any utensil that will be moved, taken on Shabbos, but they'll say to him, even the doors with an apple pishnis parku, even though they were detached, meaning all utensils that have attached doors or lids, they are going to be allowed to be moved on Shabbos, and their doors are allowed to be moved with them, and there's no need to attach the door before moving the utensils. She'ena domed losa sabayis, because they're not similar to the house of doors, which are in fact going to, if they're detached, they're not allowed to be moved. V'she'ena manumuchan, because the house doors are not considered something that's used on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be considered, it's going to be considered mukta, because the house door is not considered muchan, it's not considered prepared for Shabbos usage, and therefore it's usher to move on Shabbos. No tel adam kornos, a person allowed to take a hammer, lepatzebos, that goes in order to crack open nuts, is the classic example of klish Shemalachtel Isser to be used for a heter purpose, and more as I'm discussing this on this Amud. Kardom Lachtel Bosa Devela, or so you could take an axe to cut a cake that was pressed figs with it. Rashi points out that after the figs were dried, they pressed into the circular cake. This cake was thick and it was hard, and then you needed an axe to cut it. Magera Lagorba Sagvina, you need a saw to slice cheese with it, apparently very hard cheese, you'd have to cut it. And Magrefa Ligropa Sargogera, it's a shovel to scoop open the dried figs. And then, or it's a rachas, it's a mazlik, less it's a katan, or a type of winnowing shovel or a pitchfork to put food in front of a katan, it's a kush, it's a karka left to bow, or if you have a spindle or a weaver's reed to insert it into fruit, a machachal yada to both a coat, or a hand needle to remove a splinter from it, or a sack maker's needle in order to open the door with it. All, again, these are all examples of things which are inherently usher, they're mainly used for usher purpose, which if you do them for usher purpose on Shabbos is going to be mutter. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells you that everything is going to be taken. Even if they were taken detached at Shabbos, and would certainly tell you that that would be the case in on Chol. Again, the Mishnah's wording tells you, and then the Mishnah was implying that it'd be kol zikain during the weekday. So the Gemara says, adarabah, that you could say on the contrary, that you would have the other logic, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, if they're attached on Shabbos, muchan and el gabi aviyad. When the Shabbos came along, right, then we're assuming that they were considered muchan for usage in Shabbos, because the main part of the kli is functionable on Shabbos. So therefore, it stands to reason that the door, which was attached to the item, which was not mukta, so that should be something that is considered muchan, it's considered prepared, in which case, you'd be allowed to remove it on Shabbos. However, b'chol, if they were attached already on the weekday, so when Shabbos came in, ain muchan al gabei aven. In that case, then Shabbos came in, they were not considered prepared with the main parts, because this item, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that I'm going to move it, and therefore, I would assume that that should be more of a chiddush, to assume that that would be mukta. So the Gemara wants to qualify the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hachik Amar. Abaye says, this is what we meant to say. Kol hakelim nintalim b'shabbes l'tal semenin af pishin spark b'chol nintalim b'shabbes. All the kelim are allowed to be taken on Shabbos and their doors with them. And even though they were detached on a weekday, they're allowed to be taken on Shabbos. And echonami, the bigger chiddush is to assume that if they're taken before the weekday and not the fact they're taken on Shabbos. The Gemara says now discussing what the Gemara continues now. Tanar rabbanan delash shel shida v'shel teva shel migdal notlin avol machzirin. If you have a door of a carriage or a closet, you're allowed to remove it from its the socket on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put it back in. You're not allowed to fasten it back in on Shabbos. V'shel lul shotan adolim, however, the door of a chicken coop, lo notlin v'lamachzir, you're not allowed to remove it or put it back in. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, mashal lul shotan adolim, I understand the ruling when it came to the chicken coop, kasavar kevad mechare bar, since the chicken coops are attached to the ground. So we're telling the rule, yeshbidim rekarka, yeshbidim rekarka, your permission of binyan is applying to items that are attached to the ground or things that, and then stira is also going to apply to things that are attached to the ground, and therefore it's going to be us or both to remove it or to put it back in. However, I don't understand that halachic ruling when it came to the carriage and the closet and the thing, and those three things. I don't understand the ruling. My kasavar, what is the Tana holding? If the Tana is holding us to telling us that there is a concept of binyan mekelim, yesh stira bekelim, and there's also stira bekelim to utensils. If he's holding that there's an iser that is applies to utensils, yesh tir b'kelim, then there should also be a principle of demolishing, in which case that should also be usher. So the ein stira b'kelim, again, but when it came to the del shoshita, we said that notlin of the machzir, we tell you you're allowed to remove it, but you're not allowed to put it back in. So then why shouldn't there also be stira? However, if there's yesh tir b'kelim, if there's an issue of stira, then ein so then if there is ikasar yesh bin b'kelim, yesh tir b'kelim, there should also be a prohibition of stira. So the Gemara says the ein stira b'kelim and bin b'kelim, and if there is no stira, then there shouldn't be a problem of binyan. So then why can't you also actually take it lechatchila? Why can't you put it back on? In which case there would be the shail of binyan. If there's no binyan mekelim, it should be mutter legamri either way. So the Gemara says again, basically, if there's binyan, there's stira. If there's stira, there's binyan. So why should it be that it was mutter to remove it and not mutter? It's allowed to be removed, but it's not allowed to be put back in into its socket. So the Gemara says Amar Abaye leolam kasavar yesh binyan mekelim v'yesh stira mekelim. That this Tana actually holds that there is the iser of binyan and iser stira. So now why tell you that your ladder imply that your ladder remove it? No, he says v'nit nul kamar, that where you already violated the lacha, it's telling you not allowed to put it back. So really, it's not mutter, but it's telling you not allowed to put it back. The Gemara says I'm going to rava shtei chubas b'davar. There's two reasons why it doesn't make any sense. Chada the notlin katani. The lashon of the mishnah, the lashon of the brisa is that you're not allowed to remove it. The notlin katani is that you are allowed to remove it. It sounds like it should be totally mutter. Ve'odin, another reason, my aval lo machzirin, and implies that you're not allowed to put it back, which sounds like you can take it off lechatchila. So these two implications clearly indicate that what you said about it is a wrong deal in the brisa. The Gemara says elam rava. So therefore, rava says kasavra in mekelim in stir mekelim. Really, this Tana holds that there's no iser at all of binyan mekelim. It doesn't apply to utensils, only to karka, only to the ground, and doesn't apply to utensils. So then, xera shami yataka. We're afraid if we allow a person to reinsert the doors, you're going to do it. And you're going to put it in very tightly. And if you do that, Rashi, based on Rashi, in different contexts, we're assuming that that would be the malacha of makib patish, of finishing touch. So you're finishing this up also. So that would be the issue over here, not an esther of bina mekelim. That's a shayla. Even if we don't hold the esther of bina mekelim, pashas beis hillel don't hold the bina mekelim based on the earlier gemaras. So then, if you don't hold the bina mekelim, then at the end of the day, you'd still a lot of times have the issue of makib patish, or the finishing touch of creating something. Gemara nakanes note adam cornus. A person allowed to take a hammer and use it to open the nuts. Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda cornus shall. The Mishnah meant to tell you that only if it's a hammer which you had designated for nuts to open nuts with it. However, if you have a normal blacksmith's hammer which is usually used for malachas, which is iser, that is going to be usher. So he holds kasavar davar shemalachtel iser afilu torakuf usher, that if you have a kli shemalachtel iser, you have a kli that's generally used for iser here, like the blacksmith usually use it for iser during the weekdays, it would be usher for that person to use it even for a heter of cracking open the nuts. The Gemara says amar lei rabba elameata. Rabba says no, it doesn't make any sense. Save the kind of the Mishnah which says clearly vesaras aveserachas esa mazlik lesses of lakatan. The winnowing shovel and the pitchfork, which you put to feed a child. That's normally something that's done. The winnowing shovel and the pitchfork is normally used to feed a child. It can't be. So therefore, he says, no. Rather, what's the Mishnah talking about? Al Marabba, Cornel Shinafak Lefatea Bo Hayagozin. We're talking about over here, the Mishnah talking about the blacksmith's hammer in order to crack open nuts. With the kasavar, because he's holding Davar Shemalach Tel Isser Letorach Kufam Mutter, that when it comes to something that's generally used for an Isser on Shabbos, here, the blacksmith's hammer is generally used for the blacksmith to use Isser Malachas all week long. However, here, if you want to use it to open up your nuts, that is going to be mutter. That is something that's going to be mutter. Alafi Rabba. Now that we're last, I'll pick up with there. Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.